Hello everyone, and welcome to So Mindful Podcast, where we dig into the tips, tricks and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and without further ado, let's get into this week's exciting episode. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the So Mindful podcast. Before we get started, I just wanted to say a big thank you to you, yes you, for listening and helping to share this podcast. You are amazing and I can't thank you enough. But I bet you want to hear about this week's guest. So we've been talking a lot about style and wardrobes over the last few weeks, and so this week is a different focus. My guest this week is the wonderful Amber Allworth of Allworth It Life Coaching, and our topic is making change intentional. Knowing how to sew is a key aspect of making your own clothes, but even with the best sewing skills, if you don't make time to learn or sew, then your fabulous new clothes will remain as fabric in your stash. But often, to create space for a new skill, we have to change our habits, and change can be scary and difficult. So I wanted to get tips from an expert who helps people not only plan change, but follow through with making changes, and Amber does just that. In her upcoming bootcamp, Your Next Move, she helps people like you and I identify a change they want to make, set goals, create deadlines, and get it done. In this episode, she kindly shares some of those techniques that she uses, and she's also created an intentional change brainstorm worksheet that you can get from the link in the show notes. And so I'm delighted to introduce you to Amber Allworth. Let's roll the tape. Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the So Mindful podcast. Today I am so thrilled to be joined by the lovely Amber Allworth, founder of Allworth It Life Coaching. In her own words, Amber describes herself as a life coach based in the Pacific Northwest of the US. She lives with her husband and a sweet but deaf senior citizen dog, and her entitled cat who owns the house but kindly lets others live there. Now, I do have to say, in the notes, when I read that, the way that it was worded, I thought you were saying that your husband was a sweet but deaf senior citizen. That did really make me laugh. I just wanted to point that out. And then I saw the word doggy on the next line. I thought, oh, that's an interesting way to... anyway.
He'd love that.
But she loves her job and she's passionate about helping people deal with life transitions, both those that are forced on them and those that they are seeking. She loves adventures and a good book and a deep conversation and all things Christmas. So maybe we'll come back and do a Christmas episode. That'd be great.
Oh, I am here for it.
So welcome, Amber. It's so great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I am just so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, brilliant. So to kick things off, just tell our listeners a little bit about you and how you came to set up your business.
Oh, goodness. I have been working, I basically worked as an assistant for a long period of time, but have worked in industries where counseling has been kind of, I've worked at churches, I've worked at a counseling, like an actual counseling center. And so I've had a bend towards, you know, like, let's take a deep look at stuff or let's get some resources to help us get where we need to get. So about, oh goodness, 5 years ago, I moved from the middle of the country to the Pacific Northwest, so the very edge of the United States, and so had a lot of transition, and I've just had some seasons where it's like, I'd really love an unbiased person to talk this through with. I need a coach. And so a dear friend of mine started doing coaching, and I had some sessions with her, and I'm like, this is really fun. And there was one time where she had something going on and she's like, well, would you coach me? And so I started doing it and it just started coming out of me. And I realized all of the training that I have had in my education and in the occupations, it's like, oh, this was priming me for coaching. And so I love it and am taking more classes and learning so much and have had and realized I've had a lot of experience coaching without calling it coaching. Yeah. And so now it's something I'm so passionate about. And I love having the deep conversation. I can do the small talk, but give me the heart to heart any day of the week. So
brilliant. And what kind of people have you been working with and what sort of problems have you been helping them with?
Yeah, I have been working with people who are looking to make a transition in their career, trying to decide, like, what's the next step for me? Is this a step that I want to take? Is this a good time for that? I'm reacting the same way to this situation. I'm kind of stuck in this cycle. How do I change that? And with people who I want to do something different, I want to change up my routine, the way that I take care of myself, the way that I manage my schedule, you know, what my life looks like. How do I decide? So basically people who have some transition coming in their life, or they need to have some transition coming, and how do we come up with a plan and start to put stuff in place to make it happen?
Okay, great. And that kind of leads us into the topic that we're going to talk about today, doesn't it? So we were going to talk about making change intentional. And when we want to learn a new skill, so I was kind of looking at it in the context of dressmaking. That's why we got in touch in the first place, wasn't it? And I know myself, it can be really challenging to create space and energy when you want to learn a new skill. Mm-hmm. And we kind of start out all excited, and then we hit that first roadblock and everything kind of goes back into our sort of old routine. And before we know it, it's 6 or 12 months on and we haven't developed it, or we're still kind of, we've got regrets because we haven't moved forward with it and feel guilty and all those other things that kind of come up with that. And so I just wondered, kind of when you're working with clients and they want to make a shift or create some space, or like you mentioned earlier, change a routine, where do you get started?
That's a great question. And I think you have to, there's a few things. Like, first, you see these stories on the internet, or you hear of other stories where people are like proficient immediately at something. And when we're little kids, like if you watch a little kid learn how to ride a bike, I was talking to a little friend in my life. She just turned 6. And I was telling her, you know, this year you're going to learn how to ride a bike. Like, that's going to happen this year. That's so exciting. And she goes, I don't know that I do. Like, my mom fell down one time and she was telling me this whole story. She goes, and I fell down that one time and I just don't want to, like, I'm afraid about taking the training wheels off. And I'm like, oh girl, you got this. Like, you're okay. And I realized we are so like my little friend, where it's like, I want to be proficient right out of the gate. And when we flub it up, it's like, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought that I would be, or am I wasting my time? Or are people going to see this dress that I make and think, oh, okay, that looks great. Did your child make it? And so there's all of that. Like, we think we grow up, but we're really still just children inside. And we can think through the what ifs. And as adults, like, our hobbies and our things cost money. It costs time. And so then it's like, is it worth the time for this investment? And so you get stuck in kind of that thinking of what if. And I think that paralyzes people, you know, where it's just like, oh, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if it's worth it. And so for me, something that's helpful is to realize, okay, where does that tape that's running around in my brain, and where did it come from? Like, whose actual voice is it? And is it a voice that I trust and I want to listen to? And if not, why? You know, go for it. And, you know, if you just give it a shot, I would rather go down failing at something than go down scared to move forward and try something because I didn't give myself a fair shot or make the time for it.
Yeah. And I think that's, the more you do start to make change, I think you build that muscle, don't you, to do that. But it can be really hard if you've been in a rut for a while, or you haven't done anything new for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then just that first one can be a bit of a Absolutely. Challenge, can't it? So have you got any kind of tips or suggestions around how to just tackle that first, you know, how to start to build that muscle, a bit like when you kind of go into the gym the first time, the temptation is to get on that treadmill, try and run yes. that half marathon, and then you get home and before you know it, you can't walk for 3 weeks and you never go back again, like you say, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? So
or you pull something.
Yeah. Have you got any tips on kind of starting small, you know, kind of how people might start to kind of build changes into their lives?
Yeah. I think it's kind of like, you know, starting a new healthy eating plan, that we go intermittent fasting when we haven't gone 4 hours without food in a decade. Like, I'm going to fast for 3 days and there's no prep for it, you know, or I want to go back to school and you haven't read a book in a decade. Like, or you want to make a dress and you don't even have your sewing machine out. So it's like, what are the small steps that I can start to incorporate to make this a part of my life? And also defining, what does success look like? Like, what can I do today that I'll be really proud that I did that will get me closer to my goal? So if it is, I will get my sewing machine out today and I'll watch a YouTube video on how to add oil to it, because, you know, that's important. And I'll make sure that I have, you know, sewing needles, and I'll start to look at fabric. Like, that's an easy, low-hanging fruit. And at the end of the day, you did more today than you did yesterday. And yeah. So that's like where, if you start small, but I think if people, so if you know how in New York they have the Met Gala,
yeah,
where they have the ball, like the ball gowns. And I look at some of those and I can't even figure out how the model or the actress got into the dress, let alone making the dress. So let's start with, you know, something simple that we can sew and not think we're going to be Met gown creating right out of the gate. And I know that this sounds like super simple and you think, okay, that's cute. Like, of course I know that, but we forget that. So when we're in the middle of it, it's easy to forget and to fast forward. You know, with launching my business, I imagine 20 steps from where I am, and I love my husband. He regularly, he's like, I don't think it's going to go quite as fast as you think that it might. I just want to help you adjust your schedule. You can do this. Let's just adjust your timeline. And I think I would say that for your listeners, like, you can totally do this. You can do this. It might not happen as quickly as you think that it will, or as smoothly as you think that it will.
Yeah. And we maybe need to put that on a little soundbite, don't we? That we can just keep as a little reminder to play. It's okay. You're making progress, and it's okay that it wasn't quite as quick as you thought. And I think
absolutely.
I think that's, even just as you said before, I think sometimes we underestimate that a small action is still an action. Do you know, like, we think that, well, I just got my sewing machine out and I just sewed a little practice strip. And we kind of undervalue that step. But without that, you don't get to the next one. So if that's all you do, then celebrate that. You know, that's, as you said, that's a big thing. And
absolutely.
And each one of those little things become the bigger, that's how you get to your finished garment, or you learn your new skill, whatever that is.
Absolutely.
So it is just celebrating even the small, like just taking one training wheel off, or, you know,
those absolutely. Kind of things. So. And think about it, like, my little friend, her name's Bailey. She has my middle name. I'm slightly obsessed with her. But she, what would we say to her if she takes the training wheels off and she falls? Like, it's not going to be like, what were you thinking? You're totally not ready for that. Get back up, you know, like, let's put the training wheels back on. Or, you're so stupid. Why did you fall? Like, we would never, Lord willing, like, I would hope no one would say that to her. But then it's like, once we become an adult, you know, oh, it's fair game. You can say whatever you want to yourself and to other people, you know, like, you think other people are saying that to you. And so how would you respond to her? So how would you want someone to respond to you if you try a pattern and it doesn't fit, or it completely, you butcher it totally? Okay, that's great. You tried it. I'm really proud of you for trying something different, for something hard, something you've never done before. Proud of you for trying. Like, let's do it again tomorrow or the next day. Let's give you some time as you rip out the seams, which is just painful. But as that happens, you know, like, just extending some grace to yourself.
Fab. So in terms of building it and making it more intentional, what else can people do?
I think if we view it as a season, so for this season, I'm going to step in and I'm going to try this. I mentioned earlier that I moved out to the Pacific Northwest from Indiana. So to give some context, that's 3.5-ish days of a drive across the country. It's a big step. I knew one family when I moved out here. And I was preparing to move, and one of my best friends, she said, you know, Amber, let's just look at it as a season. If you get out here, because I was so afraid that if I tell people I'm doing this, and then I come back, it's going to be like, oh, you couldn't cut it. Oh, you couldn't handle it. And I said, I have that fear in my mind. And she said, and to be clear, the people in my life are not that mean. I was writing some some conversation that would never happen. But in my mind, that was a valid concern. And she's like, let's just view it as a season. Like, when, as much as we're in summer right now, which is so, it's beautiful here, fall is coming. And with fall comes rain, but also comes chilly weather and all the lovely things that fall is in general. Summer will end and this season will end. And it doesn't, you necessarily don't have to end what you're doing, but if you view it as for a season, I'm going to give this a shot. So if we're going to say, hey, I'm going to try making a dress. So for 30 days or for 3 months, I'm going to just give it 5 hours a week. Like that's, I can make 5 hours a week. Let's cut that to 2.5. Like I can do that. I make time for social media. I can make time for a hobby. And I also make time for sleep. So if we say I'm going to try this for 30 days, and if I hate it, that's awesome. And if I love it, that's awesome too. And so I think that that takes the pressure off of, oh, I'm a seamstress now. Oh, yeah. I'm this now. Oh, I'm that now. And you know, if you hate it, stop. Life is too short. And goodness, if you Google hobbies on the internet, you're going to come up with lots of options, really bizarre options, but they're endless. And so if you don't love the hobby that you're doing, that's awesome. Yeah, find something different.
On. Yeah, yeah. And at least you've tried it and you've given it a go and you're not sitting there thinking, what if I tried it or what if I could do this? Or you've at least, you know, taken some steps towards it. And I think that's really powerful in terms of setting a boundary of, like with dieting, I'm just going to do it for today. Today is the only day I'm going to focus on. And today I'm going to eat the right things or whatever. And I'm not going to think about this is a change for the rest of my life. I'm just going to do it for 24 hours. And having that sort of mindset each morning or each week or whatever, that I'm just going to do this many times a week. I'm going to commit to just doing that and, you know, really commit to it, but stick with it yourself, you know, be true to yourself.
Absolutely. When you think about people that I'm going to work out an hour every day, like cardio for an hour and strength training for 15 minutes. And it's just like, is that really sustainable? You know, there are people that, yeah, it is. That's completely sustainable. But if you're just starting out with something, I think we set ourselves up for failure by unrealistic expectations of ourselves and what can actually happen. And so then when we start to not reach those goals, then we start to slack off. And so when your hobby becomes a source of failure, you're going to avoid that sewing machine at all costs. You're going to avoid the room where that is, because then you're going to walk in and you're going to see that dress that you haven't finished pinning. You're going to see that, you know, that space, and that is going to equal failure for you, and you're going to avoid it. And so that's not giving it a fair shot.
No, our association with that and feeling that guilt of that unfinished project or whatever, it's trying to let go of those things and just say, I'm going to do it when I feel like it, and then I'll do it. And if I don't feel like it, then I'm going to give myself permission to, you know, do something else or move on. And I will come back to it, and it will be when I'm ready to do that, I guess. But, you know, if it's not convenient, because life changes, doesn't it? You know,
absolutely.
The best laid plans, and you're not always able to stick with something when other things come up.
Absolutely. And right now, lots of things in the world are coming up. And so we have to be able to pivot and to flex, and it's worth it in the end. I mean, to be able to have an outfit where people are like, I like that. And you're like, I made that. Like, you may not have to say it with that level of attitude, but you feel it on the inside. Like, yeah, you do. Because I did that. And that's just like, that's awesome. It's better than saying, oh, yeah, I got it. I mean, I do love celebrating. I got that on a good clearance at Target. But to be able to say, I made that piece of clothing, that would be really cool.
Yeah, second best to sale item at Target. Yeah, okay.
True story.
Fantastic. So one of the things we were talking about was some steps that the listeners could take. And I know you've mentioned about a worksheet for brainstorming. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, there's a worksheet that I'd love to give your listeners. I have a special link that we'll share at the end of this. There's a website just for them that I created for you. Well, let's be real. My IT director husband created that. I married up. But with the intentional change brainstorm, it basically will, it's a guided journaling exercise, and it asks some questions like, you know, what are you afraid of with this? Who do you need to tell about this? What if you succeed at this? You know, like to, just to get you thinking through, like, okay, let's look at this comprehensively. Like, here's some pros, here's some cons. You know, what are you going to miss out on if you don't take this chance? And so what I instruct you to do in that, it's really simple to grab a pen and a piece of paper, and then you set a specific timer, like, we're going to give this 10 minutes and it's going to be focused time. And so it has the questions on there. It's super simple, and it might sound overly simplistic, but to get you thinking through it and to take, I don't know about you and I don't know about your listeners, but there's like at any point, 15, 20, 30, maybe more things swirling in my head. And I can begin to catastrophize something or to like to make worst case scenario for it, or to doubt myself, or to overly exalt myself. And so if I can just put stuff on a piece of paper, like commit it down on the piece of paper, it becomes a thing. Like it's closer to it being a reality. And if there's something crazy up here and I write it down and I read that again, there's something like, I'm not going to say magical, but maybe a little bit magical of looking at it like, well, that's silly. Why did I think that? You know, like yeah. It just helps get it out of here and into a space where let's do something. So that's what I want to give your listeners, of just something that they can start to think through. Okay. Like, could I start sewing my own clothes? It would be really fun. You know, like, here are the perks of it. Here are the concerns in it. So.
Yeah. And see if it gets you excited as you write that down. I think there's a power to journaling that I hadn't really tapped into. And one of the things that struck me, and I'm not sure everybody, I certainly didn't really understand the power of journaling until fairly recently. The power of it is in being really honest. Don't filter your thoughts before you write them down. Don't just write down what you think is the right answer.
Yes.
You sort of have to really be honest with that. The whole power of it is giving yourself permission to write the stuff that people are going to think, she can't really think that, or, you know, really, is that a thing? Or, do you know, so write everything down, even if it sounds completely crazy, because it's those crazy things that are flitting past your conscious and going into your subconscious. And they're often the things that are getting in the way. And as you say, the power of the journal is that, as soon as you write it on the paper, it takes so much of the power away from those thoughts. If you realize, actually, that's not even really, now I've written it down, that just sounds ridiculous. But because it seems ridiculous, you don't write it down, but you're still then thinking it, if that makes sense. Do you know? So
absolutely.
I really found that being very open and very honest and paying attention to, I'd call them the weird thoughts or the kind of nonsensical thoughts, they're the ones that are probably going to tap into, you know, so what, why do I think that, or where does that come from? And I think it's a great exercise for identifying the perhaps hidden barriers to why you have wanted to do this, but you're self-sabotaging, or you're getting in your own way, or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I have a dear friend who, she journals a lot, and she has a deal with her daughter-in-law that when she dies, her daughter-in-law knows where her journals are, and she's to get them and to burn them. She's like, they need to be burned. And so, because there's a fear of like, I'm going to write this down, and if someone read this, they would think I was crazy. Okay. First of all, if someone thinks you're crazy, that's what it is, what it is. And that's on them. Like, yeah.
And you can't change that anyway. They might think that even if you wrote down, you know, War and Peace or a beautiful Shakespeare play or whatever it was, it doesn't really
mean I'm 100% confident if people read my inner thoughts, they'd be like, oh, let's get her some psychiatric help. We all are in that space. But to get it out of your head, because we think the same thoughts over and over and over again. And so might be some thoughts that you're thinking that you don't realize that you're thinking.
Yeah.
I heard someone, and this was in the context of like of a church, but it was like, who preaches to you the most often? And people want to say, well, like the guy that I listen to on Sunday or whatever. And it's like, no, you do. Like, you're the one who's the talking to yourself the most often. And so to realize what you're actually saying to yourself would be helpful.
Yeah.
So there's just some power in that worksheet coming to just start to think about this, where it's like, I want to make an intentional change to adapt this new hobby, this new mindset, and I want to go for it. But here's here's the honest barriers that I'm facing. Here's what I'm feeling about it. And I'm going to guess most of your listeners are women, and we feel like everything. And so like, here's what I'm feeling about this. And that's valid. And we need to write it down and adjust, you know, acknowledge the feeling.
Yeah. Even if you don't want to be feeling it, you are. And it's worth just, as you say, being honest about that. And then you can come up with a plan, or, you know, or accept it, or whatever. So it's, but you need to acknowledge it first, don't you? And flush that out.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Because I think that one of the other reasons for doing it, and you mentioned one of the questions being around, what if, you know, what if I did do this, and, you know, what would that feel like? And I know when we first started talking, you mentioned a story about your move from the middle of the country to the coast, and then your grandma. Would you mind sharing that story with me?
Yeah, my grandma has lived in a three-state region that are like, they're touching states. So right in the middle of the Midwest. And she had flown one time in her 60s to go visit her, I think it was her 60s, to visit her sister that was dying of cancer, but she had never seen the ocean. And she had never been outside of a pretty small bubble of space, and didn't really desire to do that. Like, that wasn't something that she, I think she's really pleased with her life, and she's so happy with what she chose. And I think that's awesome. And I think that I'm not downing that at all, but I also use that as a catalyst for making my choice of when I am that age. So when I am 82, what do I want to look back on and celebrate that I tried? And I thought about it, and I kind of tried to imagine senior citizen Amber, and like, what would, if we sat down, like, what conversation would we have together? And I think she would have kicked my tail if I hadn't have taken the move, when it, so many things lined up where it was so clearly the next best choice for me to make. The thing that was holding me back was fear, and it was fear of people, what they would think of it, of the unknown. It was a lot of fear in that. But I thought, oh, she'd kick my tail if I just stayed in one state and didn't risk it for all these what ifs of these fear what ifs. And yeah. So that was a huge changing point in my life. And that's actually a part of a boot camp that I have coming up. That's part of the exercise, one of the exercises of just interview with 82-year-old you, where it's just, let's really think about this person. We're already becoming this person. Like, we can't stop who we're we can't stop the aging process. Believe me, I've tried, but we are going to get older. So this person does exist at some point in the future. So what would they say about choices that you're making now that are affecting their reality? And so I'm still doing that, where it's like, okay, we need to adjust this eating habit. We need to adjust this exercise pattern. We need to adjust the way that we're spending, the way that we're investing in relationships, and the way we're investing in hobbies and making time for it. And it's valid. But what's she gonna say about who she is today?
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful, I think. It was for me, at least.
Very much so. And it stuck with me after our conversation. I think it is one of those things where if you can spot the reaction, whatever it is for you, whether it's physical or whether it's a nervous reaction or whatever it is to fear, that kind of gives you that clue that you could be holding yourself back from a particular decision, mm-hmm. then having a way to refocus or take a breath, have a bit of time out, and just think about, you know, like you say, okay, 82-year-old who's watching, and, you know, they know that it's going to be successful. If you assume everything's going to be successful, then what's 82-year-old going to say to you about, you know, it went really well, so I don't know why you panicked, and all those kind of things. I think that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fab. So if people want to work more with you, you mentioned your boot camp, Amber, and if they want to do more work with you, how do people connect with you?
My website is really the best place to find all things that have to do with me, minus my social security card number. If you live in the States, you'll know what that means.
Details, yeah.
We're pretty transparent, just not completely. anyhow, allworthitcoaching.com. And actually, I have a web link just for your listeners, allworthitcoaching.com/so mindful.
Great.
So they can go there. There's links to social media. There's links to all the things that we're doing. And also a great way is to sign up for my newsletter. I'll be sending out lots of details. But my boot camp is actually starting September 14th, and it's going to be, okay, so in this coaching world, we call it a 10-day experience. You really get 14 days of content. So it's going to be really fun. It's really practical. I was going over some stuff with my husband, just talking through it. And he's like, it's really practical insight. And so it's just stuff that they're having someone hold you accountable on the practicals, like as we build that change muscle.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, like you mentioned earlier, you know, we can then take on more, but if there's someone who we are talking with and kind of coaching with, it will help. And one of the gifts that I do want to give in addition to the intentional change worksheet is if the first 10 of your listeners who sign up for the boot camp, I'll give a free 30-minute coaching call.
So oh, brilliant.
And it's with just me. So
great. Oh, amazing. That's fabulous. Fantastic. So is there anything else that you want to leave us with? Any other kind of final tips?
I think the thing I would love to leave your listeners with is to just go for it. Like, just give it a shot. Who knows what 30 days from now your life could look like and what you could have sown and accomplished. And, you know, I think we didn't jump into it, and maybe we can talk about this at another time, but I think if we compare what other people have made, what other people have done to our little trial run or our errors or our lack of knowledge, we are going to be stuck in the same things over and over again. But how cool would it be to 30 days from now to say, I didn't think I could, but I tried it. And guess what? I actually can, you know, and I think sometimes we think we can't do hard things or new things, but we actually are way more competent than we think we might be. And so I would just encourage your listeners to go for it. Like, just give it a shot. And if you need some help, I'm here. I'd be delighted to help. I'd be delighted to do for you what I needed and what I still need.
Fantastic. That's great advice. And like you say, just take that first step. I think that's the key. One after the other. That's how it all starts, isn't it? Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Amber. It's been a pleasure, as always, speaking to you. It's always great fun. And I know we'll do another episode. So I'll keep the listeners listening out for that. Thanks also for the great code and the resources that you're providing. And we'll put details of those in the show notes. And just to follow up what you said, really, just get out there and go for it. So thanks very much, Amber. And we'll speak again soon.
Oh, you are so welcome. That was so fun.
It was such fun to talk to Amber. Her energy and enthusiasm are infectious. And if you'd like the chance to work with her one-to-one, then be sure to head over to allworthitlifecoaching.com/so-mindful, SEWMINDFUL, and sign up for her boot camp. And bag yourself one of the 10 one-to-one coaching sessions that she's so generously offered for you fabulous listeners. Times are strange, and I know that many of you listening will have been forced into changes, whether it's been working from home, changes to routines and schooling, or potentially losing your job. When change seems to happen to us, we can feel powerless. But if you can work on reframing that to change happening for you, it gives you back control and puts you in a much stronger position to take action. If you don't feel that you can do that on your own, then be sure to join Amber for her bootcamp to get help and support. In next week's episode, I'm following up with Amber on how to identify what you love doing and spend more time doing it. If you haven't already done so, then please follow or subscribe to the podcast in your preferred app, or go to somuchmorefun.co.uk/podcast and sign up to get emailed when new episodes are released. And to help those in your life that may also need these nuggets of wisdom, please do share the podcast and spread the word. Well, wonderful people, that's all I have for you for this episode. I hope you have a fabulous week, because you've definitely earned it. And until the next time, bye for now.